Growth Temple Ministries, Risen Life. Thank the Lord for being here. We're going to open with prayer, and I'm going to give you the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be again in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we are blessed physically and mentally and emotionally, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we have received the light in this world. Let us be your lights as well, Father. I pray your blessings upon the word today. Each and everything that goes forth according to your will be done, Father. I claim victory in the name of Jesus. I claim victory. I claim joy and peace. Let this house, Holy Spirit, be filled with your joy, your presence, your peace, your love, Lord. Let everyone that walks through the door, Lord, see you in us, Father. Let the presence of God permeate in this place. God, I hide myself behind the cross. Lord, my words and thoughts be yours. Let nothing of myself remain. Only the words that you give me for. May it come forth. Take root in our hearts and grow, Father, that the word of God shall not return to you void, that we will walk in this day, in this time, such a time as this, that we are called to be the army of God. Give us your boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've been rapping victory all morning. And rap is usually not a type of music I listen to. My husband still gives me the side eye. Because like everything else, not everything's good. Some of it's okay and some of it's not. But I want to talk to you about an interesting vision or something that God gave me today to talk to you about. As I was doing my studies for Wednesdays, and I was reading a story, and the story of Naaman, and something caught my eye that hadn't caught my eye before, and it's all about the dirt. That's the title, The Dirt. What are some common phrases that we use nowadays with the word dirt in it? Shout them out. Cheap is dirt. Dirt cheap. That's one of the things I remember. How about dig up the dirt? Dirt cheap. Dirt poor. I know. I heard that a lot. We grew up dirt poor. How about when you're trash talking someone, you tell them to eat dirt? And dirt bag, you remember that back in the day? Called somebody a dirt bag. Or when someone's not being treated well, they're treated like dirt. That's some of the dirt phrases I remember. So the story comes from 2 Kings 5. And the one scripture that stuck out to me when I read it, and it wasn't part of my series that I was doing on Wednesday night, but it just kept hanging out back there in the back of my head. 2 Kings 5. And for completeness, for time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole story. I'll kind of tell you about it. But let me read this one verse. It says, so Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given two mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. So we know the account of Naaman. Naaman was a mighty man. He was a valiant warrior for his king and kingdom. He had was part of the Syrian army that had gone in and had victory over Israel. But the Bible says he was this way because, and if you read the whole story, he was given victory by God. He was given victory by God. So it was God's will. He was favored by his king because of this. He was a mighty warrior. But he had a couple of big issues in his life. Not only was he full of pride, but he had the natural disease of leprosy. So when I teach on this, it always reminds me, pride is one of those things that you can't see right away sometimes, but it starts showing up. And leprosy, you can have it for a little bit, and then you start, when you know you have the problems, when it starts affecting your arms, your face, your feet, you know, it tends to gnaw away, and it attacks the nervous system, and you can't feel things, and then your flesh starts rotting off. And then you sustain injuries because of the numbness of the nerves. You can't you know, injury happens without consequences other than, well, the fact that you can't feel it. And then it progresses into something worse, which was one of the things that had happened, that leprosy was about. But if you read the complete account of Naaman, you know, at the mention of a slave girl from Israel, his wife had a slave girl from Israel. And she said, you know, if my Lord would go to Israel, would go back to and see the prophet there, he could be healed. And I thought that was interesting. Those words came from a slave girl. It says the prophet who was in Samaria would be able to heal him, I think is how she worded it. He goes to his king and gets permission to travel to Samaria so that he can be healed. And so he shows up at the king of Israel, and he's got a letter from his king, and he brings with him silver, gold, and clothing. Because of the reputation that he had as a mighty warrior, a man like him walking into a city unannounced would cause a lot of alarm. This is the reason why he had the letter. But then I thought it was interesting when you read the reaction of the king, Israel's king, or the one in Samaria, he becomes offended. He's like, this king is trying to pick a fight with me, because how am I supposed to heal a man of leprosy? I think, and I'm just giving you some of the points that I talked about Wednesday night, I think it's interesting that this king didn't really understand that God still dwelt with the prophet in the land of Israel. His first thought wasn't to what God could do. It was to what he could do. And we do that a lot in our situations when things come up. First thing we do is we look within ourselves. There's no way I can do that. How is that possible? But then you've got to remember that you are a child of God. All things are possible in Christ Jesus. So he comes in, and I thought it was funny how much he brought with him, because it's like us. We think we can purchase things from God from being right and justice and trying to do things and be good, and that's not the way it works. Salvation is a free gift. It is a free gift. You cannot earn it. He goes to the king of Israel, shows him the letter. He's not met with glad tidings. Because the king thinks he's maybe an act of war is coming. It's an act of war. And he fears that he'll be retaliated. Here is the steps. Here steps in the prophet Elisha. He realizes the king has torn his garments or torn his robe. He sent word to him and said, why have you torn your robes, your garments? Send him to me. He will know that there is a prophet in Israel. And I always thought it was strange that when I read it the other day, I was like, why doesn't say, you know, there's a God in Israel? He wanted them to understand that the prophet shows that God's favor and his mercy and his righteousness was still with Israel, because there was still a man of God present at this time. You know, God didn't dwell within us like he does now, according to the New Testament and the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. We have the privilege of an indwelling. Back then, they had the temple where the holiest of holies were, and they had a prophet or a judge that resided and had the word of God. We have such a great privilege that God speaks to us individually. Not that he didn't do it in the New Old Testament, but he didn't do it like he does for us now. It's a wonderful thing when you see that. So we see Naaman's pride exposed when he's met by the servant. So Naaman takes his whole entourage, all the gold, all the silver, all the clothing that he brought, and he goes to the prophet's house. And he goes to the door, and he knocks on the door, and guess who shows up? A servant. And the servant simply says, the master says, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, you'll be clean. You'll be whole. And he shuts the door. That's my imagination. But anyways, Naaman, this great warrior, he's standing out there going, really? That's it? How often do we complicate what God has told us to do? How often do we complicate it? He gives you simple instructions. I'm the first one to confess that I'm like, that's it? Are you sure? That sounds awful easy. He's like, just go do it. But meaning that he would not only be healed, but he told him, he says, your flesh would be restored and he would be cleansed. I thought that was interesting. There's a sermon in that one. It's restored and cleansed. I won't preach it today, though. Meaning he would not only be healed of the spots of leprosy, but the disease would be gone. He goes away angry because he expected a performance. Ooh. We like our emotions, don't we? We like to live on our emotions. Let me tell you, they're going to turn on you one day. They turn on you every day. You cannot rely on your emotions, on your feelings. As the old timers would say, they're fickle. They're fickle. They'll be one day, one way, one minute, and one another. And it's true. He goes away angry. He expected a performance by the prophet, but all he got was instructions by the servant. Now, let me tell you, those of you who are Christians, a lot of people are going to look at you that way. You're going to have a word of God burning within you for a person. You're going to go to them and you're going to tell them this word of God, and they're just going to look at you because, you know, they expected a performance. And now let me tell you something. If you're that kind of person, the Bible says you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. No, that's a song. But Jesus condemned the Israelites because they always wanted a sign. Did he not? You're looking for signs and wonders. And all you need to do is simply obey what God has told you. Listen for the still small voice. How many times have you heard Jesus yell or God yell at you? No, the Holy Spirit talked to you that way. No, I have found that it is a small, still voice. And I have to quiet myself and listen. That's why when you go to prayer, I give you my education on that. You can pray and talk to him all you want, but you need to sit and give him time to talk back, to speak to you. And listen. Don't speak. Just listen and sit in the quiet and the peace of the moment and let God talk to you. That's a teaching moment there. So let me go on with the story. So we see his pride. And you know what? His servants had to talk him into doing that. He'd gone away. He'd like mad. How many times have we been angry about things didn't go the way we wanted and we walked away from a blessing? Probably more than we realize. More than we realize. And so his servants are like, you know what? If he had asked you to do some difficult thing, would you not have done it? And he asked you to do something very simple. It's something easy that you can do. And he's begging his master to go back and do what he wanted him to do. And he finally consents. Naaman consents. He goes, he dips 7 times, and he comes out. And the Bible says, his flesh were restored like the flesh of a little child. Now, I work in dermatology, or I did for a long time, and I love the little babies and the skin of a little child. There's no blemishes. There's no sun damage. There's no spots, usually. It's so beautiful. It's pure. It's clean. Can you imagine a man that had leprosy? This is the disease that is going to kill him eventually. He will die from either one way or the other. And he knows it. And actually, in those times, in the biblical times, if you had leprosy, you eventually had to be put out of the city and live away from your family, your friends. You weren't allowed in the city, in the synagogue. And actually, when people come near to you, you were supposed to scream, unclean, unclean. So they knew not to come close because you had something they could catch. There's a story and there's a sermon in that one. But think, this great, mighty man of war having to humble himself down to that, being exiled from everybody. But he goes and he does what the servant told him. And then he returns back to Elisha. And he insists, this time he actually talks to the prophet, he insists that Elisha take the gifts that he had brought. But Elisha, being a man of God, knew that wasn't what God wanted him to do. He said, no, I can't take it. I don't want it. He tried twice to get him to take it, and Elisha said, no. And he does, and then Naaman does this really strange thing, and he asks the prophet for 2 mules full of dirt. He said, just let me get the dirt from the ground from this place. Let me just put it in the mules. I've got 2 of them here. Let's just pack it on them. Get as much as you can. I want to take it back to my home. This is just common dirt. But to Naaman, it was so much more, so much more to him. And he tells why. He says, because no longer will I be offering burnt offerings and sacrifices to other gods. In other words, I am going to serve the Lord God. Everything else is nothing. No one else could heal me. No other God could do it for me. No other prophet could do it for me. But God did. Lord God did it for me. And he says, I just want to take some of that dirt home and keep it. I just want to be reminded of it. I want to be able to touch it and feel it and remember the good thing that the Lord has done for me. When I read this passage, it wouldn't let me go. The bags of dirt. I have read this account many times. I've actually taught on it many times. And I've talked about this story, this account many times. But the loads of earth stood out to me this time. I have learned when this happens, Holy Spirit is trying to teach you something. This is a teaching moment right now. I'm just going to take a pause. I want to teach you something. When you are studying the Word of God, when you hear a sermon that someone is preaching the truth of God, sometimes it's even just a song for me that has words in it. And then I go and the Holy Spirit just wouldn't let it leave my thoughts. I would just think on it. So when you have those things, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is trying to guide you into a truth. What do? You put the effort into it to study that subject. Whatever it is, research it. Now, do be careful what you research online because not everything is of God. But get in the Word of God. Get some trusted people that you listen to and talk to. Ask them about it. Get an understanding. The Bible says get knowledge, but also get an understanding. This is what you see. This is how you're being spoke to from God through Holy Spirit. So when those moments come, I implore you, write it down. Study it. Research it. Find out what God is saying to you about that subject. This is how I put my sermons together all the time. Sometimes it's just strict revelation about the Word of God or a situation. But usually it begins with something that Holy Spirit would not allow me to stop thinking about. He keeps bringing it up. Actually, this morning I was listening to one of the groups that I like to listen to, and they did a concert in the dirt. It was on a dirt floor. I was walking this morning and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk about dirt today. That was confirmation. God is good. So I believe that Naaman thought the dirt was special to him. He received healing, so he desired to stay connected to it. In truth, it was not actually the dirt that was actually special, was it, though? It was the presence of God there that made it special. That's the only thing special was the presence of God. I can only imagine. Can you imagine his countrymen? Here's this mighty great warrior, probably decked out in all his finery, with a bunch of gold and silver and all his entourage and all these clothes. And here he comes in with two mules loaded down with dirt. Could you imagine what his countrymen thought? Can you see their faces? Is that Naaman? He's carrying dirt. Really? Of all his wealth and all the things that he has, he's bringing back dirt? Could you hear the whispers? Has he gone mad? I don't know. I don't know what he's got, but I don't know if I want it. Let's step over here. As a Christian, you'll feel like that sometimes. Let me just tell you. Naaman, anyways. They don't understand sometimes what's going on. But to Naaman's, these represented so much more than just dirt. It was his miracle. It's what God had done. It represented God's move in his life. I'm sure the stares and the whispers didn't cause him much concern. Because he had a new life now, one which no longer would keep him from living and would not cause his death. And he knew that he was loved by a God that was greater than him to do the impossible. A God who removes all shame, all worry, all anxiety. He had a new lease on life. And his pride was revealed and dealt with. So not only did he receive a healing physically, but there was a spiritual healing that day. He desired to stay close in any way possible to God, even carrying bags of dirt from the land of God's people, wherever he was. That was a representation of God's presence to him. I wonder how many of us would go that far. Holy ground. So I started looking up holy ground. There's a couple of places in the Bible where you see speaking about holy ground. The first one is Exodus 3 and 5. God tells Moses, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." This verse marks a pivotal moment in the story of Moses. He was calling him to go back to Egypt and free his people. God was revealing his presence to him through the burning bush and his holiness. Take off your shoes. This is the holy ground. There is one other example in the Bible, and it's Joshua. Joshua 5 and 15. I'm going to read all these for you if you just want to write them down and go back and read the actual stories. And it's Joshua is crossed over the Jordan, and he's walking around, and he's looking at Jericho. And the commander of the Lord's army appears before him, and he speaks to him. Remember what Joshua said, "Are you friend or foe?" And he says, "Neither. I am for the Lord God Almighty." And let me tell you, Christians, disciples of God, you will make that stance in your life time and time again. Neither. I will stand for what is godly, what is right. That's what we're called to do. But he tells him at the end, he tells him what's going to happen. He says, "Remove the sandal, for the place where you stand is holy." Joshua takes off, I think it's just one sandal. That's a covenant sign in the Old Testament. It's a covenant. Are you going to be for us? Or are you going to be against us? Acts 7 and 33, we see Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin right before they stone him. He's explaining everything, why Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he makes a reference to this. The Lord said to him, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." So this recalls the moment in the Old Testament where Moses encountered God on Mount Sinai. which we talked about, but it was part of his defense of his faith, emphasizing that God can be found in any place and is not confined to the temple. That was a hard thing for them to understand. These examples of holy ground let us know that the ground was not special, but it was the presence of God that was special. That can what made it holy to me, to them. This makes me think of us as the disciples of Jesus. What would we do to be in his presence? And what dirt do we carry with us? To what lengths would you go to stay in his presence? Naaman carried dirt. Some of us carry a dirt, but it's not the dirt of God. It's not God's presence. My grandmother had this old saying. She said, if you stir in it, it's going to get on you. Whatever you stir in, you're going to get it on you. So do we carry the dirt of our past, our failures, our mistakes, what has been done to us, what we have done, all the things which say, we would say, so easily beset us, which is evident in the way we talk, we think, how we behave, our mindset. What are we carrying? Are we carrying the dirt of our past, of the world? Are we carrying the presence of God in our lives? How far would you go to stay connected to his presence? The cross of Jesus Christ, the sin and the shame that he bore for our cleansing, for our salvation. He took unrighteousness and gave us his righteousness. The Father sent Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to be a guide, to be the truth, teach us all truth, to empower us, to comfort us, to be our advocates. And Holy Spirit is our seal. On the day of the Lord, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is why when you hear testimonies of those who worship the dark side, they will say that Christians are lights. They can see you. You are sealed by his Holy Spirit. You are a light of the world. Does the life you live represent the presence of God which resides in you? In my research, I started looking up things, and I want to look at John 1 and 14, and I'm going to read these for you. Just write them down. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you look the word dwelt up in the Greek, it means it tented or tabernacled. So can you imagine when that was said, and the people who understand what the tabernacle meant, what they thought when Jesus was dwelling within them, dwelling among them. So when he secured our salvation, defeating sin and death, he went back to the Father as the high priest, interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. However, he did not leave us orphans, the Bible says, and without the presence of God, by the indwelling of Holy Spirit, we became the temples of God. So the God, the presence of God, the templed presence of God, Jesus Christ, came and dwelt among us. And then when he left, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's your comforter. He's your intercessor. So there are many scriptures in the Bible that says you are the temple of God. John 14 and 23. Jesus himself, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Romans 8 and 9 says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. John 14 and 7, ESV says, even the Spirit of truth, which whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I could go on. There's so many more that we talk about. But what is this presence of God? How is it that a man who didn't even know God was healed and wanted just the dirt from the ground of that place? How is it those of us who claim to be the temples of God, and we do everything we can to not even be in His presence? Everything. Let me tell you what resides in His presence. Creation. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and He was in the beginning. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Creation resides within you. The one who created everything. Tell me you can't walk around here and move mountains on your own through Christ Jesus. You've got creation. Defeated sin resides within you. The power of Jesus Christ, the one who came and lived a sinless life. And it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6 and 14. The ability to defeat sin through Christ Jesus, who resides in you, it's in you. That's the presence of God within you. Let me just talk about the name of Jesus. Not just His name. Just the name. Just say the name that derives from you. The Bible says that the government is on His shoulder. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is Jesus, which means that God saves. Did you hear all the names that He is? The government is on His shoulder. That means He controls the things that we can't have any control over. He is wonderful, 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 wonderful. That's the miraculous part of Him. The miracles, the things that man can't do themselves. Counselor means that He resolves and He counsels. Do you have an issue? Come to the counselor. Through Holy Spirit, He will speak to you about what needs to be done. That's one of His jobs. He will tell you what I have said. That's what the Word says. He is Mighty God. That's all power, all authority. This is just the name that resides within you. He is Everlasting Father. Father, 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 Father. He looks at me like His child. Let me tell you something. Even when you're mad at your kids, you still love them. I expect my children to make mistakes. They haven't been on this earth as long as I have. They haven't seen the things that I have seen. But Everlasting Father cares for you. That's just the name that resides within you through Holy Spirit. Prince of Peace. Who doesn't like peace? I told you last week, Jesus said, I don't leave you the peace like the world has. Remember the shoes? They don't hold. They don't cover. They're unsteady. Heaven forbid a storm or water or shaking come in, you're going to fall off those heels. But if you put on the peace of Jesus, He said, my peace I give you. I left it for you and I gave it to you. This is just a name that resides, and this is the presence of God within you. And that is, healing resides within you. Did He ever meet a person that He didn't heal on this earth? No, He did not. He does not. He says, He even told us to go forth and heal. It says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with boldness that we may speak your word by stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Matthew 28 told us that He gave us, His power and His strength. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing, healing, teach them everything that I've taught you, and you will do greater things than I have done. That scripture as well. Strength resides within you. Hope and a future. These are all things that are in the presence of God. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All these things, that's His attributes, resides within you. Stay in His presence. It is time to shake the dirt of the world off you. Remember, the Bible says, lay aside every weight and every sin that easily besets us. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that's what that is. Ephesians says, since we are raised up together and we are made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, you are the temple on earth. You have all power and authority. We're supposed to walk in our newness. Set your affections on the things above and not the things on the earth. This is how we get rid of the dirt. We take a power and authority over. Remember all that we have within us. If we continue to carry the dirt of the world, we will soon find that we are buried. Because the world's just going to keep shoveling it on you, shoveling it on you, shoveling on it. That's what the enemy does. He keeps putting that dirt on you. But let me tell you, stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Stay in his presence. He is the wisdom. He is mighty God. What dirt are you carrying? Are you doing all that you can to stay in the presence of God? Are you allowing the world to throw their dirt on you and bury you one day at a time? It is not so for a child of God. We am called to higher places. Father, we thank you for the word and the encouragement. Lord, give us the eyes and the ears and the heart to see the enemy and his plots and his plans to bury us. No longer will we carry the dirt of the world, Father, but we will stay in the presence of the Almighty God. For in your presence there is joy and peace, there is strength, there's power and authority in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us orphaned, that Holy Spirit resides within us, and because of what you have done, no weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.